The Harper government is currently in advanced stages of negotiating CETA. Canada-European Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement. This agreement has had little media coverage, and most Canadians seem not to have heard about it. If CETA is approved, it will threaten our democracy by putting corporate rights first, encourage privatization of Canada's drinking water, threaten local job creation and buy local policies, cause prescription drug costs to skyrocket, and allow big corporations to ignore or challenge environmental regulations. I spoke with Stuart True, a trade campaigner with the Council of Canadians, to find out exactly what CETA means.
CETA stands for the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement that is being negotiated between Canada and the European Union. It's about 2 years old now. It's nearing completion, and people, I don't think, know very much about it in Canada. I think that's on purpose, because the government would like to pass it as quickly as possible. In a nutshell, it is a free trade deal, like NAFTA, but it will have more impressive, in the sense of more impact on municipal governments, like down to the local level, basically. It's going to go further than NAFTA did, to the extent that it kind of privileges corporate activity over things like environmental protection, job creation policies, buy local policies, this kind of thing. It's sweeping in the sense that it takes these binding trade rules and is going to apply them to more areas in Canada in a way that will basically limit what our governments can do at all levels to kind of develop the policies and develop the societies they would like.
So why do you think that the European Union finds Canada an attractive country to engage in a trade agreement like this with?
We have a large public sector. We have publicly delivered water, postal services, telecommunications is highly regulated, energy, all these areas that are now delivered publicly in Canada, the EU sees as potential markets for their large service providers. So think about Veolia or Suez when it comes to water, natural gas, or even garbage disposal. What they would like to do is craft an agreement that helps them pick up more contracts in Canada, and that's what CETA is going to do. Whether it's through procurement restrictions, you know, restrictions on how our cities can procure these services, basically in a way that would encourage privatization, or whether it's restrictions on how these areas are regulated, and basically investment protections that would lock in things like privatization and basically make it more difficult to regulate and create new public services.
So maybe you can talk more on who would be the major beneficiaries of CETA.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be different in Canada in different provinces who's looking to benefit from CETA. And that's kind of an interesting part of this trade deal. It's not uniformly beneficial for Canada by any stretch. And so in Canada, in Alberta in particular, it's the beef and pork sector, and to some extent, grains, agriculture. And they could gain from getting rid of some of Europe's strict rules around genetically modified crops, for example, or some of their bans on hormone-treated beef. That's really where Alberta wants to see gains, and I think that has a large role in where the Harper is coming from, coming from Alberta. He's there to support these industries, and so they could see gains. But it'll be at the expense of things like municipal autonomy and across Canada, across the board. It'll be at the expense of farmers who may have to give up their supply management sector, for example, the way they protect themselves against spikes in food prices in Quebec and Ontario. And in Europe, the real benefactors will be, as I said, the service providers, the private service providers who will see public services liberalized, right? In Canada, they want to pick up the contracts. And so there will be gains. They will be largely gains for large corporations. Another example is in intellectual property changes that the EU wants to see are designed to give more protections, more patent protections for brand name pharmaceutical companies and brand name large companies like Monsanto, who own intellectual rights to life, right, to food products. This is who CETA will protect. This is who it's going to enrich. And there's really not much in there for everybody else. There's certainly no jobs in the agreement.
How would CETA affect the tar sand extraction going on?
Well, in two ways. I guess superficially, Harper has told, and we know this from Reuters articles, from media articles this year, Harper's told the EU that if it goes ahead with a fuel policy it's trying to put into place, if it goes ahead in listing tar sands as more polluting than regular oil, which it is, then it could undermine the whole CETA negotiation. You know, they've even threatened to pull out if that were the case. And so many groups in the EU and in Canada, even including the Council of Canadians, were supporting the EU fuel quality policy because we really do think we should be limiting markets for the tar sands. What CETA's investment protections will do will be to undermine those kinds of policies in Canada and in the EU. Efforts to kind of reduce or eliminate the market for tar sands, for example, would be deemed illegal trade barriers, and they could either be challenged through the agreement by Canada, as Canada is challenging the EU seal ban, seal product ban at the WTO. They could do something similar for the fuel quality policies. Or if it were a case in Canada, like God imagine this, God forbid that Alberta or the federal government wants to eventually start regulating the tar sands, because right now they're highly under-regulated. Well, an investor, an European investor, for example, British Petroleum or Total from France, could sue under CETA, under the investment protections and the investment dispute process in CETA. They could sue the Alberta government or the federal government for compensation or simply to threaten them against putting in place stricter regulations. So it's really in that respect, for tar sands, for energy producers, and for brand, you know, again, pharmaceutical companies, this is a corporate rights agreement that we're essentially signing with the EU that's going to lock in their investments, make sure that environmental policies or resource conservation policies don't interfere.
And how would CETA be affecting local markets?
It's unproven that free trade agreements create jobs. I would say that's fair. Even pro-free traders will say, just by signing a deal, you're not going to create jobs. Canada needs jobs, like a lot of countries, and struggling through a recession. We need to create good jobs. What is proven is that when you funnel a certain amount of public contracts, a certain amount of that money into local economies, whether it's on infrastructure projects or through local content quotas, for example, on public spending at the municipal level, you know, that creates jobs, and that's proven, and we can show countless studies to show exactly. For example, in Toronto, they buy local subway cars for the TTC or local buses, and they can show exactly how many jobs that sustains and creates. So this is the effect that CETA will have when it comes down to the procurement chapter and restricting how our cities spend money and our towns spend money. You're taking away that tool. You're saying the falsity. You're lying, basically, and saying that you're going to get jobs through free trade. Well, that's unproven. It's not true. In fact, you're taking away job-creating tools from our cities.
One point that opposition to CETA has been highlighting is the potential for privatization of water. And earlier, you connected that to the urgency of water quality in Canada and relating that to the need for better water purification in First Nations communities. So if you could just tie this in the potential for privatization of water.
Mm-hmm. The way water projects are funded in Canada now, increasingly, if you want federal money, you have to consider a public-private partnership, or otherwise you have to consider the private model. This is before you get the money, you must do this and consider it, then we'll give it to you. What could happen in CETA is that process could be considered a form of tendering, for example. If you're going through the hoops and you're actually taking in proposals from companies to deliver water on a private basis, and P3s are private. I mean, this is partial privatization. then they could argue at the end of the day that if the municipality decides it wants to stay public at the end of the day, even if the private offer was cheaper, that company, you know, whether it's Veolia, Suez, or American Water for that matter, private water companies, could argue that no, in fact, it was an open procurement process. We should get the contract. We put in the lowest bid. And that's what these deals are designed to do. They're designed to make that the only criteria when you're tendering. Who's going to do it for the cheapest? Of course, we know that private water isn't the cheapest. It's certainly the least accountable way to deliver water. Companies have in the past all over the world raised rates after they get a contract or immediately renegotiated a contract at a higher rate. And so the threat is very real that if we do go down that road, if we do kind of encourage and then lock in privatization, then we're going to end up losing control of the water and we're going to end up spending more. When it comes to First Nations water, there's absolutely, you know, the sooner the better we can get water, clean water delivered across Canada on First Nations, the better. But of course, we do have to think of, is that going to be private? Is it going to be public? Or is it going to be some other form, community-based water? And I think the priority, I think, for a lot of groups would be that would be community-based water delivery. The threat, though, from CETA is that, again, where you've got money being distributed and where it is a covered procurement, and absolutely water services are going to be a covered procurement, you open the door for challenges by private firms saying, no, we can do this cheaper. Let us do it. And if you don't, we're going to challenge your decision in front of a trade tribunal. And so that's why we have been saying that we need to carve out water services entirely from CETA. If they're going to sign a deal, carve out water services, carve out procurement for water, or else we're opening the door for privatization.
What stage of negotiation is CETA in at this point?
We're in the final stretch. We've had the final formal negotiating round happen in October in Ottawa. And this is where basically the provinces and territories and in the EU, the member states, have now been cut out of the picture. They've exchanged their offers when it comes to services, when it comes to government spending, government procurement, and the types of investment protections that they're willing to give each other. And now it's up to the federal negotiators to kind of take it from here. And so they're going to do that basically behind closed doors over the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 months, however long it takes. And then they're going to sign a deal. And Harper's going to then try to ratify it as quickly as possible. And I think probably with as little debate as possible. And so we're at the point where we really have to start demanding for these negotiations to stop now, even if it's just a pause, so we can see the details and so we can debate the details, as you would imagine we should in a democracy, because we're not going to get that opportunity once a deal is signed. And once it's signed, there's no going back. The investment protections, the corporate rights we extend to the EU, beyond those we've extended to other countries through NAFTA and other free trade deals, are locked in. And that's the goal, and that's why we think we need to open up this debate now, open up the agreement now, so that we can actually have a real say in how far we go, or whether we go at all, whether we want to sign this deal at all with the EU.
And as of now, what has been the amount of public negotiation or public access to information, community input that's been involved in CETA?
There's business input. There is zero community input. There have been briefings with some organizations, the Council of Canadians included, and labor groups and academics. And these are interesting. They're very interesting. And we get a chance to ask the negotiators questions. But in the last briefing round, I asked whether they had been taking notes of anything we've said, whether there was a report made. And he said no. He says, I basically get the general gist of what you're saying, and I relay that to my political masters. So there is no consultation. We've said from the get-go these are simply briefings. Certainly most Canadians have never heard of the deal, and that is, I think, shocking to the extent that this isn't really about trade. It's very much about how we're going to govern ourselves. It's about our economic options.
So I'm wondering what the chances are that we can stop CETA now that it's almost 75% into the negotiation process?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really, I think it'll depend on, to some extent, on the public outcry. And in a majority situation, the Harper government seems like it can do whatever it wants, but history in Canada shows that isn't the case. The Liberals had a majority government when they tried to allow banks to merge in the 90s, and public opposition stopped them. It was similar with the fight on the multilateral agreement on investment, right, which would have created this broad net, you know, global protections for investors against environmental policy, basically. That was 90% done, and public outcry in Quebec, in Canada, Quebec and France stopped it. So I don't think it's at all impossible for us to stop CETA. And I think, in fact, now that the conditions are more ripe for it than ever, when you look at the space that the Occupy movement has opened for alternatives, it is absolutely astounding that a year ago you could talk about corporate power and people would shut their ears and they would turn away and like, yeah, you're talking about corporate power again. Now you say it and everybody says, oh yeah, I get it. Because of the Occupy movement, they just open up this enormous space to challenge all manner of policies that are designed to enrich the already rich, and that have no solutions for the whether it's eradicating poverty or inequality or fixing the climate crisis. I mean, the 1%, as they say, have no solutions to this, and certainly CETA is a trade deal for the 1%. And so when we can think in those terms, I think there's an enormous capacity, especially as Occupy movements across Canada start to think about CETA, whether it's in London or Winnipeg or Windsor. I think we can do some very, very good things, and I absolutely think we can stop CETA.
So there are currently three campaigns going on in resistance to CETA that the Council of Canadians is working on. One of them is removing water from the negotiation table. What are the other two campaigns?
Well, the first one would be quite simply stop negotiating. We have a letter that people can send from our website at canadians.org. If you go to the trade section, you can find the action alert. It's basically calling on the provinces, because they are at the negotiating table, it's calling on them to be transparent. We want them to show us their offers. We want to see what's going to be committed, and then we want a chance to debate that at the provincial level. So far, you know, the provinces have not been very transparent at all. They've told us we can't give you that information. It would spark an international incident, which is, you know, quite unbelievable when you think about it. We're just talking about economic policy here. So that's one important campaign. But more locally, we have this campaign to have cities exclude themselves from CETA, or at least to request that they be excluded, because really at the end of the day, it's the provincial government's decision what happens to cities. But across Canada, 20 cities already, including the Union of British Columbia Municipalities, has said, we want to be excluded altogether. We want to maintain our freedom to buy local, right? To put local hiring or local content or other kind of environmental sustainability conditions on spending. And we can't do that under CETA, so please exclude us. And so what you can do very easily on our website is grab a template resolution that municipalities can pass, and you can talk to your councillors and you can encourage them to kind of bring it up. And even if they don't pass it, at the end of the day, they're discussing it at the municipal level, and really that's the level where they know the least about these trade negotiations and where we can do a lot to actually educate our own local leaders about how trade is going to kind of come down to their level and start restricting what they can do as a elected member.
And the website URL?
It's www.canadians.org. You can also go to tradejustice.ca, which has some more information and links to all the groups that are fighting CETA across Canada, which is a growing list of about 50 or 60 organizations now who are actively opposing CETA in different ways.
And can you bring up the names of, there was Attac Quebec, there are two big Quebec forces that are in opposition?
Yeah, so in Quebec, it would be definitely Attac Quebec has played a very prominent role here in fighting back against CETA. They're a member of the ERCIC, which is the Réseau Québécois sur l'Intégration Continentale, which is now spearheading a very, I think, what will be a very successful campaign. on CETA. Already they've been able to secure a public hearing with the Quebec negotiator, Pierre-Marc Johnson. They are doing actions, and they're also actively soliciting signatures for a petition that was brought to the legislature by the SCFP, which calls on the Quebec to stop negotiating and make the talks public. So if you do get to the Quebec government website, there is a petition there that you can sign. And the more Quebec names are on there, the more impressive it'll be, demanding a public debate, like, immediately in Quebec.